You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. From the gold rush to women's suffrage to prohibition and the assassination of a governor, Idaho has a pretty rich history. And along with that history comes the jerks, you know, those no good individuals who left a not so great mark on Idaho. Joining me live on the phone is Randy Staples, author of the book Speaking Ill of the Dead, Jerks in Idaho History. Welcome to the program.
Okay, good afternoon.
So why your fascination with the so-called, you know, bad guys?
Well, I look at history through a variety of different kinds of angles, and this would be one of them. I did a book with Marty Peterson some years ago called The Idaho 100, mm-hmm. and that book was about the most influential people in Idaho history, the people who made the biggest difference. And there's the book that I'm working on right now that I'm trying to get out for the same publisher as this one, is about myths and legends in Idaho history and how they've shaped the state in various kinds of ways. So states' locations get shaped in a number of different ways, and this is one of them, that there's kind of the dark side that you see as well as the good side that we like to celebrate a little more.
Okay, well, let's be honest, though. Sometimes those bad guys, those are the stories you want to hear about, right? You want all the juicy details.
They can be fun. This was a fun book to do, no doubt about that.
So tell me about the book, because first off, where did you get the idea? Since you know, having written this book with Marty Peterson about looking at the most distinguished individuals, maybe was this about, let's see who the most infamous people are?
Well, this was not a book I published. This is one of a series of books, actually. The Globe Pequot Press, which is a publisher based in Connecticut, mm-hmm. has put out a number of different series of regional books, and this is one of them. They've done, I'm not sure whether they've hit all 50 states, but they've certainly hit most of them with some of these same titles. So one of the books that I have on my shelf, for example, is Jerks in Texas History, which is also quite an interesting bit of reading.
So when you talk about the jerks in this Idaho book, you've got some standouts. So talk to me about one that really stood out to you.
It's changed over time, and I think if you ask me next week, I might come up with different answers, because it sort of depends on what kind of criteria you're using. You could you mentioned a couple of minutes ago that Idaho's history includes the assassination mm-hmm. of a governor, and that assassin, Harry Orchard, is one of the people that I profile. That's being an assassin of a former governor is that's a pretty jerkish thing to do. And that's not the only thing he did. He apparently killed quite a few other people. And there were a lot of other issues, you might say, related to Harry Orchard as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that would certainly be one prospect. But one of the better known names in recent years for a lot of Idahoans, the most recent figure that I included was Richard Butler, who was the founder of the Aryan Nations encampment up in Kootenai County. And that I thought was a pretty jerkish thing to do as well. But like some of the others, and some of those that I wanted to be sure to include, it was not just a matter of what they did, but the effects of what they did. The effects that reverberate over time mm-hmm. and have a lot of ongoing impact around the state and sometimes even beyond.
Well, and that's a good point, because isn't there someone in your book who is a Pinkerton detective? And talk to me about this individual, because this goes, I didn't know the name of the individual, but then when you say, like, this individual, though, spread so much fear, apparently, correct?
Well, that was the problem. This related to the Stunenberg assassination and the inquiry after that, which was mostly done by the Pinkerton Agency. And the agency was contracted to do most of the work that you would now expect one of the local law enforcement agencies to do. But James McParland, who was one of their major operatives, lived in Idaho for a period of time while he was doing this work. And at that time, the larger private detective agencies like the Pinkertons did not do just what we think of a private investigator or an investigator as such as doing. They did a lot more than that. They were often agitators. They were often operatives trying to do what their employers wanted them to do in a lot of very activist kinds of ways. Mm. They were looking for information. They were investigating, but they did a lot more than that. And what people like McParland did was to spread a lot of fear around Idaho and change the character of it for a period of time early in the century.
I'm speaking with author Randy Staples. He has a book out called Speaking Ill of the Dead, Jerks in Idaho History. In fact, you will be speaking up in Moscow this coming weekend, correct?
That's right.
And talking about this. I want to ask you about Lydia Shaw. Apparently, she's in your book. And a black widow of sorts, correct?
Yes. She was. She's kind of a straightforward case in that she killed a bunch of people, mostly people that she had married.
Mm.
She killed a string of men that she married for their insurance money.
When you say a string of men, how many?
About a half dozen.
The exact numbers. All righty.
The exact number may be a little bit in dispute. There are one or two that are not entirely certain, but she certainly left a lot of dead bodies behind.
So tell me, when you describe her, was there a pattern? I mean, was she a serial killer, even though all of them happened to be her husbands? I mean, would you put that label on this individual?
Oh, I think so. I don't think there was too much doubt about that. She was convicted of it criminally, and the evidence was really pretty overwhelming. And I don't think there's really ever been any dispute that she actually did most of what she was alleged to have, at least most, possibly all of what she was alleged to have done.
And what was she? So when it came to the killings of these spouses, was there a pattern? I mean, was there money involved? See, this is all these are the details that we want to know about.
Sure. And as I point out in the chapter, and there have been books written about her. It's certainly not a new subject. And these cases date back to the first quarter of the century, of the 20th century. So it's been around a while. But yeah, there was certainly a pattern. In most of the cases, it involved poison. And in just about all the cases, there was a substantial estate, usually by way of an insurance payout afterwards. And the way she got caught was that the insurance companies began getting suspicious.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when half a dozen spouses start to die. People might question
a little bit suspicious.
Yeah, every once in a while. What do you think is so important about not just looking at individuals who, you know, define a state or an area based on, you know, being the good guy or these distinguished individuals, but really looking back at this other side of history?
Well, it requires looking at it from really kind of a non-ideological point of view and looking at it from the standpoint of, would practically everybody agree that this was really not good behavior? When I was looking for nominations, essentially, of people to write about, and I sent out the word to various people and sought suggestions, a lot of people responded in some ways what you might think of as kind of predictably.
Mm-hmm.
You had a number of Republicans that were suggested by various people who were Democrats and vice versa. That's kind of understandable.
Oh, right, right.
But that's not really the same kind of thing here. If you have a point of view and you think that's the right thing to do, then I wouldn't really consider it too jerkish to go after you on that basis. If you're doing what you think you ought to do, if there's some reasonable basis for that. Maybe about the closest that I came in the book to that was Fred Dubois, who was a U.S. senator and was a member of both parties in the U.S. Senate, unusually.
Hmm.
But before that, he was best known as the persecutor, really, of Mormons in Idaho. And I think that he probably really did believe that what he was doing was the right thing to do, but it was some of the things he did really were pretty awful. He spread a lot of fear. And I think there wound up being a good deal of cynicism in it, because he certainly had his career very much in mind as he was doing that and a number of other things.
And that's interesting, because I would assume that the town of Du Bois over in eastern Idaho is named after him.
It is.
And it is. We have a large Mormon population in eastern Idaho. So that's an interesting piece of information.
Yeah, the town was had a rather different kind of population, and a lot of Idaho, including a lot of eastern Idaho, was a little different back in those days. During much of Du Bois' career, not so much right toward the very end of it, when he downplayed the anti-Mormon activities that he'd been involved in earlier, but in the earlier days, the LDS population in Idaho was small enough that it was a small minority that you could go after and profit from politically. And there were a number of people who did.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me and chatting about this. I'm sure people can grab your book. It's available, called Speaking Ill of the Dead, Jerks in Idaho History. And you will be speaking at the Latah County Fairgrounds in Moscow as well. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
My guest today has been author Randy Staples. Thank you so much again.